very easily. Yeah? So I have my sieve. And then the great thing about that is I can then put my secondary foliage plant, and for that I've picked Cerinthy and I've seared it. Can you see the discoloration at the end of the stem? And that means that something floppy immediately becomes quite upstanding if I pick, condition, rest, arrange. And then what I mean about the sieve is that I can literally drop the Cerinthy into the sieve and it holds it. And if you're a woman, you have small hands like I have, the brilliant thing about this, as opposed to that technique that men have evolved, which is the spiral, you can't hold, your hands get too knackered and you can't hold them. And so this system is designed by us, that one's a bit bruised, but for women. And the great thing is, even if you've got something slightly floppy like that stem, if you feed it in, the sieve holds it, even if it is, because this will pick up. It needed, I should have picked it last night. But so do you see, I don't need to gather the stems together. It just makes it so much easier.
First grow your sieve.
First grow your sieve, yeah. And honestly, I've spent my life looking for good sieves. But Euphorbia oblongata is hard to better, very easy from seed. You know, it's not the most absolutely glamorous of the Euphorbias, but it is the best sieve. There's another perennial variety called Serrato Carpa, Euphorbia Serrato Carpa, which is also very, very brilliant as a sieve. And it's also like oblongata flowers for about 9 months of the year. I mean, that's the amazing thing about oblongata, is it honestly does flower from March until November. It is a bit too floppy. Okay, so I've got my sieve, and then just every so often, I can just gather up my stems and carry on to the next one. So then I'm going to use a little bit of Gelder, which this year is looking pretty ropey, to be honest, because of the terrible weather. But this is Viburnum opulus sterile. And I'm going to use this for what I call my upper story. And what I mean by that is just adding a sort of shagginess, a sort of gardenness to the bunch, really. And that's what I tend to find is missing with quite a lot of florist-grown and arranged flowers, is they're a bit neat. And a bit tight.
You're right, they are. This, and they're not, they look like they're so regimented.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you think that's why one of the reasons that your cutting garden's been so successful is because women want something that looks a little bit more natural?
Yeah, maybe. Just more garden-y, really, I think. Yeah, I think. I mean, I remember really well some people coming to the cutting garden in the early days, saying, "Oh, you know, I don't want flowers that look natural. I want flowers that look like I bought them from a shop." And me being like, "Right, you're not in the right place, now." But I think that has really changed now. I think the whole grow your own thing has really changed people's attitude, that they don't want sort of plastic looking flowers. So again, can you see? I'm just doing exactly the same, just threading it into the sieve. At no point am I just chucking them in around the edge, because then I would have to, well actually it's not quite true, I did have one like that, but then I would have to hold them, and so then it makes it much harder work.
Sorry, can I get you to keep me still for 1 second?
Sorry.
No, you're a photographer's nightmare with the movement, sorry. Thank you, that's great. As you're swinging them round, my focus is sort of...
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, so just making it look quite wild and
even
weird,
that,
really.
Even that on its own looks fabulous.
Well, when I'm teaching a flower arranging course, I do say to people that if you are happy to put it on your kitchen table at this stage, then go on to the flowers, because that will save you an awful lot of money if you're buying the flowers, but also it'll just end up with a better looking bunch. So quite irregular, can you see? It's not all kind of neat and it's quite messy, which is what I want. So then I move on. So I've got my three foliage and then I've got my three flowers. And for the three flowers, I always consciously pick with a recipe in mind, which is I pick the thing that I sort of think is looking beautiful, and that's the tulip called Montal this morning. And I think of that as my bride, okay? So that goes in first of all. And these are whopping great French tulips, they're wonderful.
They're the ones that are growing with the kale.
Kale, exactly.
Montal.
Montal, yeah. again, just threading it through my sieve, just turning it every so often. Not, you know, no particular pattern. I mean, it doesn't need to be absolutely neat and tidy. I don't want it to be. Now, one like that that I'm adding in the centre, I don't add it into the palm of my hand. I turn the bunch on its side and it comes out the outside like that, but that can still go bang in the middle. Do you see what I mean? And then just swivel it. What I've got is what I call my bridesmaid. And my bridesmaid, I want to be the same colour or very similar to the bride, but not quite as big. So if I'm using a dahlia, for instance, I might use an orange dahlia, I might use an orange zinnia, say, or a black dahlia, I might use a black scabious. So something, same colour, but just not quite as dominant. So she doesn't compete with the bride, she sort of backs her up. Now there you are, you see. So this one I didn't thread through into the sieve properly, and look what's happened. So that's why you just, you know, it's really good to use your sieve, not just chuck them around the outside, because that's when you get your problems. So in goes the bridesmaid again, just threaded through. And I don't need so much of her. She's just going to back up my bride.
What is that tulip, that one?
This one is called Florosa. And it's one of the new generation of tulips, which are hybridising between the two nicest families, really, which are the Viridiflora group, which is the green flag group, and the lily flag group, which have the elegant shape. So you get the longevity of the Viridiflora group with the elegance of the lily flag group. And Florosa is one of those new generation. So can you imagine, if I was still doing my spiral, there's absolutely no way I'd be able to hold this now. But I'm still able just about to, keep going with it. Because the sieve is so knitted together now that it holds the stems in place. There's enough now, and then just the final ingredient, just a splash of a final ingredient, which I call the gatecrasher, which is my colour contrast. And it's just picking up, I don't want too much of it, but just a little bit of a zap of something else, so again it doesn't become too polite.
It's picked up the colours.
And it picks up the serenity, yeah. And this is an allium called Purple Rain, which is again a new generation allium. Halfway between sort of Christophii and Purple Sensation, and it's got the bigger, starrier flowers of Christophii, but the density of Purple Sensation. And now it's so big, I'm just holding it against my stomach, basically, hoping it kind of just about stays together.
Sarah, where do you get your buckets from, and do you sell them?
Mail order we do, yeah. I probably don't have them here. We should do, really. They're the best, because they're stainless steel, so they don't ever rust.
I was going to say, they look fantastic.
Just going to move. Oh, I think it's over there. Actually, maybe I don't mind. I don't know. Okay. So now I'll show you a knot, which is really fantastically useful. And And so you have a double length like that. And then you put it round your stems and lay them down on a surface. If it's a small bunch, you can do it on your knee. And then what you have, if you've got your two cut ends and they go through the loop. And the one then goes one way and one goes the other way. And so it's immediately tight. And then you can just loop it round. Now with tulips, they have very brittle stems, so you don't want to be too rough with them. And then you want to cut your stem ends to the same sort of length. And I'm sure you will know, florist scissors are worth their weight in gold because they have sharpenable blades, so they're like a good tool, and you can get sharpeners for them, which you can't really for kitchen scissors. And they're much, much nimbler and lighter on their feet than secateurs. I never use secateurs for picking. I always use florist scissors.
Are all these products are all available from your website as well, like scissors
yes.
and things as well? Right, okay, so if we can link, as bloggers we can put links across to them.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's nice to be able to recommend something and say where you can get something at the same time.
Okay, and then I'm just going to finish it off by wrapping it. So I'll just clear the decks a little bit.
Do you do lots of weddings? Do you do lots of weddings? Or have you got a team of people who are all...
Kind of. I mean, we used to do a lot, and actually we're sort of quite busy now, but we do a bit. We tend to do friends and family more
than...
Yeah.
And journalists.
Okay. So I'm now going to wrap them. This is waterproof tissue, this stuff, which means that it can sit in water and doesn't disintegrate, so it's quite handy.
That does explain rather a lot, now you've said it's waterproof tissue, because I have attempted on several occasions to wrap flowers in tissue.
Oh, okay.
Right, that's explaining a couple of disasters.
Yeah, this is... It's like wage packets. It's glassine, sort of. It's got a slight texture on it.
Is it quite easy to find that?
Yeah, it's quite specialist. I mean, again, we have it on our website, but I think you'll find it on a few florist supply shops. So I'm just going to pop that into the tissue.
You made this look very easy, Sarah.
It is easy. If you follow the recipe, it is easy. You just need to practice a few times. It's like making a cake. You know, if you follow that recipe, I promise you.
Why don't you come and take a shot of you wrapping that? Is that all right?
And then with the cellophane, you always want to be very firm with cellophane. And if you're tentative, it splinters. So I always tear it in the same way. I mean, you can use a blade, but even that is harder. So I get out about a metre like that. And then I just start it off my teeth. And over the side of a table, you just then go very violently like that, and then it goes straight. If you're tentative, it splinters. And then you pop that bang into the middle of the cellophane. Either with ribbon or twine, whatever you want, you do the same knot again. Into the middle of the goldfish bowl. break the bunch and
just before you tie it.
Yeah. So then it should just stand up.
I like it.
Okay.
Good.
I remember doing this in America and I did it like that too firmly and it was very packed on it, the whole of the front row was splashed.
You've
poured
the water in, have you ever sort of mist?
I haven't done that, but it was really cheap cellophane and it just went like to a water bottle. Everyone got a big sense.
That's beautiful.
But very easy. So can you see, if you follow that recipe, so primary foliage is a sieve, so you want a thin stem and a nice generous flat top. And, you know, once you start looking around the garden, you will find there are lots of things like that. There's nothing as good as your Euphorbia oblongata, but there are quite a few things like that. And then the filler can be anything, really. It really can. And the upper story, you tend to want to have a nice, kind of interesting shape. So Solomon's seal, if you have it in the garden, is wonderful at the moment because it's got a lovely shape. Or bells of Ireland, you know, or emerging spring leaves, or any of the grasses in the autumn. It breaks up the neatness. And then your bride is just, you walk into the flower shop or your garden, you think, oh, looking lovely, so that's normally easy to choose, and then the bridesmaid backs her up, and then just a little bit of colour contrast so it doesn't all become too polite, basically. So, and if you follow that, you know, when you're doing a massive flower arch for a wedding or a little bridal posy, you know, for the bride, or you know, just it just always works, and you know, a big pedestal arrangement or a big vase, and you know, I use it little and big, and it just works every time, And it's also brilliant for making a shopping list or a picking list if we're doing a big event, because we teach wedding and party flowers here. And I can just give a test. You know, we just sit down in the morning, the evening before the course, and it's just like, okay, what's our bride? What's our bridesmaid? What's our gatecrasher? What's our primary, secondary, tertiary? We know exactly how many stems we need, so we never overpick or overbuy. We know exactly. It just makes it like a shopping list or a picking list, you know, like going to the supermarket. You just, that recipe will deliver something very different looking, but it basically is using the same recipe. Okay, great, let's have some lunch.
Sarah, can I get a shuffle?
Yes.
What I want to do is slightly blur you.
Yes.
So you're soft.
Okay,
I'm ready. Flowers are king, but what I wouldn't mind is if you were looking happy.
Okay.
So after shots, I've got your.
Oh, okay.
We're going to shop and try to sort of
put you
very gently in there.
Yeah.
Thank you for the shop.
No, sure.
I'm quite a sympathetic person to taking a nice shot for somebody.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you must look as though you're
enjoying myself.
Physically happy. In the flame, but not make you the main.
Yeah.
Not smiling. I'm sorry. It's all right. It's a little hot. It always takes a nicer shot. You ever notice if you're tall, you always get under your chin.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, I've got my nostrils on my chin in this shot. How's that? You do look like you're coming from the garden.
Yeah, lovely. Okay.
Thank you. If you want me to, I can send you.